Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Old Testament, Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. The New Testament is from Matthew 6, 25 through 33. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. So that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow and is thrown into the fire. Will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. At the conclusion of the sermon, the worshipers filed out of the sanctuary to greet the minister. And as one of them left, he shook hands with the minister and thanked him for the sermon. And he said, "Thanks for the message, Reverend. You know, you must be smarter than Einstein." Well, beaming with pride, the minister said, "Well, why, thank you." And as the week went by, the minister started to think. The more he thought about the man's compliment, the more he became baffled as to why anyone would deem him smarter than Einstein. So he decided to ask the man the following week. So the next Sunday, he asked the parishioner if he remembered the previous Sunday's comment about the sermon, and the parishioner replied that yes, he did. And the minister asked, "Well, what did you mean when you said I must be smarter than Einstein?" And the man replied, "Well, Reverend, they say that Einstein was so smart that only 10 people in the entire world could understand him. But, Reverend, no one can understand you." When I was in grade school, we had songs and poems that we learned for all the different holidays, especially Christmas. And the only one I can remember about Thanksgiving is, "Over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. The horse knows the way to carry the sleigh through the white and drifting snow." Remember that? How many of you remember that one? Okay, thank you. I never got to ride a sleigh or had to go over a river or even go through the woods to get to my grandmother's house because all I had to do was go out my front door and walk next door where she lived. Now, many folks will be traveling distances for this week to celebrate Thanksgiving with their families, and some will be some large distances, some will have to fly. and airports and roadways will be jammed with people trying to reach their loved ones. Now, my Thanksgiving is going to be a little bit different this year, since I will be going to Indianapolis, as I told you, to watch Nick's Brownsburg Bulldogs play for the 6A state title. That's not our traditional Thanksgiving. But you know what? I am so okay with that. It's not traditional, but it will be a moment of thanksgiving and rejoicing. From the moment I see the looming walls of Lucas Oil Stadium and I pass through those gates, I will be most definitely rejoicing. Well, in the ancient world, most cities were surrounded by a defensive wall with gates that lined the city and in many ways gave the city its character. And when you arrived at these old cities and went through the gate, it was a moment of rejoicing. You were home. And the gates might have been built for defensive purposes or even ceremonial purposes, but they represented more. The difference between being outside and being inside, being home and being away. The gates of Jerusalem held an even deeper meaning. When passing through those gates, pilgrim traveling from faraway places, it meant entering into the holy city and the temple, the dwelling place of God. To enter the gates of Jerusalem then was to enter into the very presence of God, which was cause for great songs like Psalm 100. The description of the psalm is a psalm of thanksgiving, but in this case it was more than a family get together. It was an act of praise. Psalm 100 is one of the most familiar of the songs of praise in the Bible and the source of some of our most beloved songs in worship. The hymn tune, Old 100th, pays homage to the psalm and is used in many congregations as the tune for the doxology, which we sang earlier. The psalm itself is an invitation to sing, and my favorite version or translation of this song begins, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing." A joyful noise was the appropriate greeting for a monarch in the ancient world. And in this case, it is all the earth that cries out in joy at the presence of the Creator. It's the kind of joyful noise we might make when we enter the front door of the family home after a long absence. The excited cry of being home at last. When entering the gates of the Lord, those excited cries then turn into songs of worship and praise. Most of us gathered here this morning, whether in person or online, consider this church their home. Some of our families have been here for generations, while others are far more recent. And when we enter into this building or we tune in online, do we make a joyful noise? Or settle for sighs of boredom or the sharp sound of complaint? Do we worship the Lord with gladness? Or do we do so out of obligation and duty? Do we come into God's presence with singing, or do we keep our mouths shut? If our worship is meant to praise God and stand in God's presence, don't you think we should do it joyfully? Our church doors don't look like the mighty gates of Jerusalem, or even like the front door of our family home. And they definitely don't look like the gates of Lucas Oil Stadium. But entering through them should be cause for praise and thanksgiving. When we worship, it's a noise that should shake the whole earth. Psalm 100 continues, and in the third verse, it lists the reason for our worship. Know that the Lord is God. It is He that made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Entering the gates of the Lord's dwelling place, just like entering the doors of our loved ones, reminds us of who we are and from whence we come. Outside the gates, we try to make a name for ourselves. We making up our identity from our vocation or our bank account, our friendships and accomplishments. But inside the walls of God's presence, we remember who we are and to whom we belong. We are the sheep of His pasture, and it is God's presence that provides us protection and care better than any defensive wall ever could. Worship reminds us that our identity begins and ends with God, the one who made us and who cares for us. If God is the one who made us all, then we also find our identity with the people of all the earth. Worship can push us beyond the boundaries of race, nationality, gender, class, sexual orientation, and help us to recognize that we are not called to be at home with our people and just our people, but with all of God's people. The gates of God's presence are wide open to a multitude of travelers coming from all over the place, all made to be focused on reflecting the image of God within them, rather than reflecting on their differences. They're called to join in making a joyful noise, a cacophony of sounds in many languages, but all giving worship to God. Worship is the universal language of God's world, and no matter where we call home, we're called to join together in thanks and praise. We are commanded to enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. And why do we offer thanks and praise? For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Our worship reflects our praise to God, because God is good. And we give thanks because God's love, grace, and faithfulness have extended across the generations, even when God's people sometimes forget their identity. When the sheep of His pasture go wandering, no matter how far afield or for how long, God is still the shepherd who will keep searching until all of them are back in the fold. The gate remains open because the gatekeeper wants the sheep to come in and to live an abundant life. Many of the great gates of the world are no longer standing, or they are more historical or ceremonial than the main passage in and out of a city. The gates into God's presence, however, are still open for business every day, every hour, inviting God's people to come and worship. We are invited into God's presence, and that is a great reason for thanksgiving. May your Thanksgiving celebration reflect God's presence in your lives and your welcoming response to that presence. Make a joyful noise to all the earth and serve the Lord with gladness. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and oh yes, Go Dogs.
Amen.